Yo ho, welcome into the Patriots podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
All right, here we are. It is June. We remain in the heart of the off season here. Not too much happening, but OTAs are this week, so woo.
Yep.
Cats in uniform.
Got a little bit of football going on.
Yeah, we get to see Brady working out with Brandon Cooks. Don't you love just being able to or being so into like 12-second Twitter videos? I'm like, oh my God, there's Deion Lewis going through the ladder or whatever.
Yeah, right. A little pass, just a little tiny pass over the top, shit like that.
Yeah, it's a teaser. It's like they're coming out with trailers for the 2017 season.
No pads, no defense facing them, just pretty much pitch and catch.
Yeah, and we see Gronkowski is back on the field after his season-ending back surgery last year.
Mm-hmm.
From all accounts, including from the man himself, he says he's full go.
He says he's 100%, so we'll see how that takes him.
It's
pretty good.
It's stunning to think what the offense accomplished last season without its second-best player.
I know, right?
Without its best non-quarterback.
And we just added to that.
Yeah, and you can make an argument that we just added our third-best offensive player. I mean, you can make an argument Brandon Cooks would be more important than Julian Edelman will this year.
Possibly.
It's definitely possible. I think he probably had more yards than Edelman had last season.
Yep, he did.
And Julian is 31. Brandon Cooks is 23. And I will say this, I will go on record saying he just upgraded a quarterback, Brandon Cooks did.
Absolutely.
From Drew Brees to Tom Brady. Drew Brees is an enigma. I can't get a grasp on him because he's got all-time numbers, but his team misses the playoffs.
They don't win.
That doesn't happen for the best quarterbacks. Peyton Manning.
How many times did Marino miss the playoff?
Oh God, I wonder. Probably a heck of a lot.
So there's something to think about.
I have no idea. He could have never missed the playoffs. I don't even know. His coaches, Dan Marino's, Don Shula, and Jimmy Johnson. Those were his two coaches in the NFL. Pretty fucking badass.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, Brandon Cooks comes to New England, and there is a decent chance that he is better than we've ever seen him before. It could happen. So you're talking about adding Gronkowski and Brandon Cooks to a Super Bowl-winning offense that hasn't lost anybody not named LeGarrette Blount. That's the only one?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I've been reading stuff about Mike Gillisley, and a lot of people are really high on him, and they'll point to, you know, the last two seasons. You know, averaged over the last two seasons, he has the highest yards per carry in the NFL, which is great. It's like 5.7 or 5.9 yards per carry. That's great. And they go, yeah, so the team might have upgraded over LeGarrette Blount. And I'm like, hang on, wait a second. I'm not ready to go there with you yet.
Yeah, neither am I.
You're talking about a guy who's been a three-year, four-year starter for the Patriots.
He had 18 touchdowns last year.
I know, most of them were 1 yard, but still.
Still.
But a lot of people are so high on the Patriots right now that they're willing to say that Mike Gillisley
comes in.
Listen to these names. Mike Gillisley and Rex Burkhead, I even mispronounced his name. Those are going to be stars in this offense. It's like, I'm not ready to go. I'll go with you on Brandon Cooks, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to go with you on those running backs. Though I do think they have a lot of potential to be good.
Yeah,
I'm just not ready to say it's.
I hope they're better than him, but that's kind of, it's just foolish to say that he's a guaranteed better. I mean, he could have a fumbling issue. Blount never fumbled, you know. I hope that's not the case.
Fumbled a couple. Didn't he fumble in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but that was like one of the first times all year.
Okay.
And that's, I think, what cost him coming back.
Maybe it was the fact that he was 30, and wasn't the most dynamic running back.
Yeah, I feel like they would have brought him back if he didn't fuck that up.
They feel like they've upgraded.
Yeah, probably. I don't know about the whole Burkhead thing, but yeah, they say he's working a lot with Brady too, so we'll see how that goes. Other things at training camp.
It's OTAs right now.
Sorry, OTAs. I'm sorry. Brady is still on fire, according to all reports. Hasn't missed a step.
Excellent.
Which is, I mean, kind of like a joke. They're saying he's like one of the last people off the field still. Hear other players talking to him about him. Trey Flowers was like one of the last dudes off the field too. And he goes, well, when you see him do it for 18 years and he's still doing this after all he's won, you know, it's a pretty good role model to look after to see how things have to be done. And most teams don't have that. No teams have that probably right now. Maybe one or two others.
Yeah, I don't even know who would. It is OTAs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People who would say that he hasn't lost a step. I mean, he's not facing playing a live pass rush
right,
or anything.
No. So, but the fact his arm still looks good.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Well, you know, Peyton, one year his arm just didn't look good.
Yeah, wasn't that crazy? It wasn't even a year. It was right in the middle of a season.
Was it in the middle of the season?
From my recollection, it was the middle of the 2015 season, 2014 season.
What, he just took a hit maybe?
Something went bad. Something went real bad. And
he
then,
had to take a hit.
Well, I remember it distinctly because he started out the season and it was, you know, normal Peyton Manning in September. And then there was a strong dip in October. And then they had a night game. It was Broncos-Packers. Peyton threw for 300 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. And all the announcers got on TV and went, well, Peyton's back. Peyton's all the way back. And I was like, you mean the guy that threw for no touchdowns and an interception against the Packers? That's proof that he's back just because they won. Yeah, it was dog shit. But so the shit went down the tubes before that game, and that game was in like November. So
I'm actually real quick got some stats on Marino's playoffs.
Oh, good for you.
Played in 83, 84, 85, big jump to 1990, the 92, 94, 95, 97, 98, and 99. So
like
towards
half.
The end of about half, and towards the end of his career, he was almost always there. But 96, he missed it in 93. So, you know, there's a guy who he had all the records.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, you definitely have to give Drew Brees a little bit of leeway because that Saints defense just, once Greg Williams got in trouble, it just never got back.
No,
they never had a semblance of a defense. I mean, they've been a bottom three defense for like 4 years now.
Patriots made it to the Super Bowl with bottom four.
Yeah, once.
Still happened.
Once. I know.
It happened.
Yes.
It's not supposed. That's the point. It's not supposed to happen.
You are right, JJ. They do set a high bar. The fact that they were able to overcome a historically bad defense in 2011. That team gave up, I think, the second most yards ever.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yep.
Yeah, and they took that to the Super Bowl against a weak AFC
class. One catch
class,
away
though.
From winning.
I
one,
know.
Two catches. One on our side, one on their side. Yeah. Either one.
Wesley catches that one. It's over.
Manningham misses that. Over. We would have won with one of the worst defenses ever.
Well, that was first down when Manningham caught that ball.
Still.
They would have had plenty
like
of chances.
50-yard bomb.
I know. It was an outstanding play. We were just talking about the offense and what's going to look different, or what they're adding. There were also a couple contractual changes. Rob Gronkowski basically just got a $5 million raise.
Yep.
For no reason that I can really understand. They just added incentives to his contract, like he wasn't going to try hard otherwise. Like, I don't really
keep him happy. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's just to placate him a little bit. I'm not entirely sure. And you know, a lot of people have pointed this out. They don't do this for almost any other player. I mean, I can't remember them ever doing this before.
No.
But
usually they say, oh, you don't like your contract? We're going to trade you to East Bumfuck.
Yeah. Gronk's different. He's different. And then just now, breaking news.
Yep.
Julian Edelman has signed a 2-year extension worth up to $15 million. He is just the best bargain out there.
Is he up to, he's worth, it was up to 15?
It's up to 15 with incentives.
Yeah, I think I saw 9 guaranteed. Was that what it was?
I didn't see the guaranteed number.
Okay. I think it was 9 maybe.
It's just a bargain basement player. This is a guy coming off of a 100 catch season in 2013, signs a 4-year extension worth less than $20 million.
Yep.
A year after we signed Danny Amendola to a 5-year deal for $35 million.
Yeah.
So a more productive player took a lower contract, and then now we're going to pick him up for 2 years, maximum $7.5 million a year, which is way less than like any of his caliber receiver sees on the open market. And part of that has to do with the fact that he's the most valuable here, and he wants to, you know, him and Brady
stick
are obviously
around
boys.
Here. Yeah.
Good for
Smart.
Him.
I'm happy he's back. We got him and Cook. So, yeah, basically with that, we have him, Cooks, Mitchell, and Hogan locked up for the next few years.
Yeah, for 2 years for Cooks. Mitchell's got 3 years left. Hogan's got 2 years left. And now Edelman has 3 years left.
So
pretty solid.
And Gronk. So, I mean,
and the core Dwayne Allen for 2 more years.
Yep. So the core of your offensive weapons are all there.
They're all there, yeah.
Sweet Feet still there.
Is that James White? Who's that?
Yes, James White.
Sweet Feet. When's that? When did that happen?
I don't know. They call him that. I think that's his Instagram name.
Yeah, J-Dub.
Yep. You're missing out, huh? Behind yeah, on the
I'm not hip to the stuff. Lingo over here. How? Yeah, here on the Patriots podcast, we have to be completely up to date on everyone's nicknames.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems like they have this like 2019 cutoff. That's when Brady's contract ends. That's when Gronk's contract ends, and now it's when Edelman's. It's like our big three are all coming due at the same time.
Maybe that's when Belichick's done.
Gee, could you imagine?
That might be when he's calling it quits.
Ooh.
Because it doesn't look like he's on any pace to retire now. I mean, he's been in the shit. He's loving it. It doesn't look like he's slowing down anytime soon.
He's locked in.
Couple more years. 2019, that makes sense. He'd be in his late 60s. He'd probably be like, all right, calling it.
He was born in 1950, so that'll be like just before he turns 70.
Yep.
That'll be the last season before he turns 70.
I think that's what he's going to do. Whoa. Just for Gronk, go out at 69.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got, if that is the correct timeline, then we have 3 years left of the Patriots as we know them.
Yep.
Oh, it's sad. It's like, oh my goodness, it kind of hurts. So, yeah, this is a very low-key time of year. Oh, also on offense, we signed Andrew Hawkins, the little tiny slot receiver from the Browns.
Yeah.
Why? Exactly.
I don't know. Maybe give him a shot competition there. He was a team
locked in.
He was a team captain in Cleveland. Maybe they just liked him.
Why did he want to come here? Didn't he take a peek at the depth chart and be like, oh, they're not going to keep any other receivers?
His brother played for us back in the mid-2000s. Remember him?
Yeah. Well, I don't remember his brother, but I read his name.
That he was there. Apparently, he talked him into it. He said that's the best place you're going to go. You're going to, even if you don't make the team, you're going to learn way more there than anywhere else.
Okay.
Something along those lines.
All right. Fair enough. I remember seeing him in Cleveland. I thought he was a good player. Little dude, shifty.
Yeah.
Maybe he gives Amendola a run for his money. That's about it.
Yeah, that's it.
That's really it. I mean, the top of the depth chart is Edelman, Cooks, Hogan, Mitchell. Those guys are all there.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And then it's you would think Amendola. And if anybody's competing for a job, it's Amendola with undrafted free agents and Andrew Hawkins.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much.
Defensively, there hasn't been much news. We just Hightower's still not on the field. He's still rehabbing or something.
Is that his shoulder?
Probably.
Is it a knee?
I don't know.
What's his issue this year? It was 2014. It was the shoulder.
Last year was a knee.
Oh, jeez. Never ends.
No. But because of Brady's concussion thing that we talked to about a little bit, and maybe even Hightower too, but they asked him about Belichick about Brady's concussions, and whoever's out there probably read it, but Belichick had a perfect Belichickian response that they do their injury reports based on the league, what the league asks, and the next one will be due sometime in September.
Uh-huh. he was on fire this week. They asked him, what did they say? They say, how come the Patriots didn't submit any rule changes this year? And he goes, oh, we love the rules exactly the way they are.
That's so, what okay. He said.
Yeah. He might have even said, absolutely. We absolutely love the rules exactly the way they are. It is so funny. And then and then they asked him, you know, Bill, with everything you've accomplished in your career, how do you still get motivated? Like, what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish? And he goes, well, I just want to have a good practice today. Like, that was it. He's like, yeah, I guess it. He nailed it.
He's great.
So funny. And that picture of him in the rain with the hood over his face and his jowls. Oh,
just
that was
miserable.
Straight out of Star Wars.
Yeah, right?
That was
awesome.
Ultimate Emperor look.
But anyways, we were talking about defense. The only thing I've heard really them talk about defensively is the quarterback situation, how it's Gilmore, Butler, and now they have Jonathan Jones playing slot.
Yeah.
Which is cool. The two of them, Butler and Gilmore, are going to be, we've talked about enough in the past, but they're going to be pretty dangerous. But the thing about Jonathan Jones, do you think they're putting him there just to get him some extra work, or do you think he's got a legitimate shot to be that number three?
Well, it depends how it's these are all matchup based, but it's going to depend how they want to do. Like, if a team has two tall receivers, if we're playing the Buccaneers, you know, and they're coming out with two lanky receivers, then we're going to want Stephon Gilmore on the outside, as always, but we're going to want another tall guy on the outside. So you might see Eric Rowe outside and Butler kick inside.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you play a team like the Steelers.
Yeah,
Steelers, who's got a lot of smaller receivers, then you might have Butler playing on the outside still, and then you'd bring in a Jonathan Jones or a Cyrus Jones to play in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
Or even Justin Coleman, but I mean, I'm almost giving up on him. It seems like the team has as well.
On Cyrus?
No, on Justin Coleman.
I'm sorry, Coleman. Yeah.
Maybe. So, well, yeah, because I would think it Butler has the flexibility to go inside.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's basically going to be a choice of, do we want Butler outside and one of the Joneses inside, or do we want Butler inside and Eric Rowe outside? And I think that's going to be matchup dictated.
Yeah.
And obviously, if Cyrus or Jonathan Jones can be expected to play good defense, neither one of them has played much.
Right.
So, I mean, if they develop, then great. Yeah, they definitely have a chance to play on the inside. And I know I'm lumping the two of them in. They're different players.
Yeah.
But they're both in similar situations where their roster spot is pretty close to locked up, and they have the ability to play defense.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jonathan. Maybe it's just because I'm an Auburn guy versus an Alabama guy.
Maybe. Yeah, he's all right.
He's faster, too. 4.31 speed.
Jonathan Jones?
Yeah.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's pretty impressive.
I know.
Yeah, on defense, outside of that, not really much else. I think Alan Branch reported. That was it, but he didn't practice.
Wow.
I think so.
I thought he never reports. Are these mandatory?
These are mandatory.
Oh, that's why. Yeah. That would explain it. Yeah, he almost never shows up. I think on defense, I'm really curious to see what happens next to Hightower. How they're going to play, because for years now, and it helps when you have a guy like Jamie Collins who's so versatile, but for years now we've been playing a two linebacker defense, and we don't have an obvious choice to play next to Hightower. And what we were seeing last year was Landon Roberts on early downs. We were seeing Kyle Van Noy to some extent on passing downs. Shea McClellan was just kind of all over the place. I thought he played more on the edge.
He was mixed in there, yeah.
And Van Noy played on the edge, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're both DNs out of college. Maybe maybe it's Roberts. Maybe he takes the plunge that he needed to.
But can he play in coverage? He's only, 6 feet tall?
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem like he moves backwards very well. He's great going downhill.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't really see him in coverage, and I wonder what they're thinking for a coverage linebacker on the inside. I mean, who else is there besides Van Noy, McClellan? I mean, unless they wanted to.
Oh, what's his name? He got injured last year.
Jonathan Freeney.
Freeney.
Freeney. Freeney's a bigger guy. I'm not sure how adept he is in coverage.
Yeah.
What do you think that they would consider moving a safety there on passing downs?
Like a Richards?
Like Jordan. Jordan Richards has been. I mean, does he even make the team this year? He's been maybe non-existent. Not. He was inactive for like the last 10 games of the season last year.
Another high pick safety that just got lost in the depth chart.
Yeah, literally. Maybe he needs to go to Philadelphia for a year and then come back.
Yeah.
Just like Patty Chung.
I know, right?
That'd be great. Yeah, I don't he really hasn't done a whole lot of anything.
Nothing.
Yeah, and he's stuck behind. I mean, he's our fifth safety right now. Got to be.
Yeah.
McCourty, Chung, Harmon, Chung, Ebner.
You think Ebner's ahead of him?
When you watch the games, Ebner plays defense. Jordan Richards is inactive.
That's true.
And that has a lot to do with what Ebner brings on special teams. But
right.
Jordan Richards, there's no reason a guy who's 6'2", 210, runs a 4'5", can't play on special teams.
Yeah.
You explain that one to me.
I can't.
I wonder if he's going to make the team. But if he could find a little role there as like a in-the-box coverage player. Maybe, but they might just be like, well, fuck that. We'll put Patty Chung up there, and we'll bring in Harmon as our third safety, and then we can play a dime with three corners and three safeties.
Right.
And Chung's a good enough tackler that he can handle draw plays. You know, there's so many options. It feels It feels kind of gross that I'm partially complaining about it. Oh, God, who's going to cover at linebacker next to our All-Pro?
I think we'll be all set.
Yeah, I know, I know. The team that will not be all set, however, the New York Jets, as always, our favorite whipping boys.
They're just cleaning house right now.
Continuing to. And yet, Todd Bowles still there.
Yeah.
I don't get it. You have no idea what's going on at quarterback. You're completely gutting the roster, and you're just, maybe they're just hanging on to him as a lame duck coach.
Maybe they like him.
Yeah, maybe they like him, but has not been good results.
No, I don't know what they're doing. Hackenberg, they're saying, can't even hit receivers with no coverage on them. He's still screwing up.
What, is he just mentally imploding?
They're saying, he's definitely improved from last year, but he's just missing way too many throws, and he's not even getting a rush. There's no people in coverage. He just can't hit the fucking throws. Not too good. They just got rid of Decker. They got rid of, you said, David Harris. It's who's even left on their team?
Gee, yeah. So they
Anunua, they have nobody.
Quincy Anunua, yeah. Matt Forte is still there and hates that he is.
Does he?
I can't imagine he wouldn't hate. Yeah, is he still there?
He's still there.
Well, yeah. I mean, they cut Nick Mangold. They cut David Harris. You just said Eric Decker. I hadn't even seen that before we started talking. Darrell Revis got cut. They traded Calvin Pryor, their first-round safety from a couple of years ago. I mean, yeah, the defensive line's still there.
That's
true.
They
still got Leonard Williams. They still got Muhammad Wilkerson. Darren Lee is still there at linebacker, despite him getting in a fight and getting pulled out of it by Leonard Williams last week. Silly bitch. Good for Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
He's easy to spot on camera with that hair.
Yeah.
Sheldon Richardson, I think, is still there.
Technically.
I don't know how he hasn't been dealt yet. But yeah, it's a real sad state of affairs for the Jets. They suck. In dire straits. And for some reason, they signed Josh McCown. Could anybody explain that one to me? Seriously.
I don't know.
Give it a shot. You
to
have
win a couple
two,
games?
Two developmental quarterbacks, and instead you're going to sign a guy in his late 30s who is 100% better than these two guys are right now. But the only way they're going to get better is if they play.
Right.
So then you force yourself into a situation where you have to choose the worst quarterbacks. You have to actively choose to put your team in a worse situation that weekend versus you just don't sign them, and then you're already in that position. You could just play whoever's playing better at the time, Bryce Petty or Hackenberg.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to be Bryce Petty, but...
Why not?
Because he sucks.
You just said Hackenberg is awful.
No. I meant Hackenberg. That's what I didn't mean Petty.
Well, the other one's Petty. He's still there. And, well, I guess what you could be thinking is Josh McCown's, like, basically never played three straight starts, or at least in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Guy just gets beat up every time. He's had kind of an odd career, just bouncing around, being semi-successful everywhere.
Yep.
Getting injured.
At least he made some money.
Yeah. Another team that's making some curious moves, the Kansas City Chiefs. Cut their number one receiver last week, Jeremy Maclin. What?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they saved like $10 million against the cap, but now they don't have a number one receiver. A team that was in the AFC Championship game last year is losing one of their most talented players.
Yeah, I don't really make much sense of it either. I was surprised.
I mean, I get that they only had like $1.5 million in cap space.
Well, yeah, apparently they were fucked next year too.
Yes. Why were they fucked next year?
This, like, they have $1.5 million this year, and then next year they're over cap or something.
Yeah, I think, like, Eric Berry's deal jumps, like, triples his cap number next year versus this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Maclin had he had guaranteed money left, so he has a big old dead cap charge. And they waited till after June 1st so they could split it between this year's cap and next year's. But you're still getting hit with all that guaranteed money. I think it's, like, $6 or $8 million. That's just
they must have weighed the options.
The drain.
Yep, and they must have weighed the options.
They didn't have a better option for generating a little bit of cap space right now. I mean, has Tom Ali been a good caliber player recently?
He's been hurt, but I don't know why they couldn't have traded him.
Nobody wanted his contract, probably. But yeah, that's an offensively challenged team. This is a team that 2 years ago didn't have a touchdown to a wide receiver all season. And then you just, I mean, they're going all in on Tyreek Hill. You saw it in the playoffs. last year. And when I said the AFC Championship game last year, I realized I said that wrong. Divisional game.
Yeah.
When they lost to the Steelers. But in that game against the Steelers, it was plain and obvious. They were basing their entire offense off of Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, they had nothing.
And now they're going to eliminate their only other outside threat. They cut Jeremy Maclin. I mean, you still got Travis Kelce, who is a top notch. I mean, I still think he's underrated, despite the fact the amount of attention he gets. He's so fucking good. He runs great routes.
Okay. All right.
But they're just going balls deep on Tyreek Hill here.
Yeah, it doesn't make much sense. It doesn't make any sense to me, man. I don't know why they couldn't figure that one out. But hey, what are you gonna do?
Oh, don't worry. They got Albert Wilson to fill in for Jeremy Maclin there. They'll be fine.
Oh yeah.
You think they're trying to implode Alex Smith now, just so they can turn it over to Mahomes? Try to get him to retire so they don't have to pay his cap charge. Oh, he's never retiring.
Yeah,
put that guy down for $20 million for the next 10 years. He looks healthy as an ox.
Yep.
Okay. The one of the big things I wanted to talk about was Jimmy Garoppolo. This is an ongoing conversation.
Oh yeah.
Mike Reese this week or last week from ESPN Boston floated the idea of an extension with Garoppolo. So the idea being that this year's cap hit plus the franchise tag next year, you basically match that money. You give him the extension now, you spread the cap hit over this year and next year, which sounds good in principle, but makes diddly poo of sense to me because in the NFL, you roll over your salary cap savings from 1 year to the next.
Yep.
So if it's going to cost you $24 million next year, instead of just doing this extension and paying them $12 million this year and $12 million next year, you could just save the $12 million in cap room this year and roll it over into next year's cap and pay him the full 24 next year. And that way you don't have to make any decisions right now. You don't have to commit to giving him that much money. What if he regresses major league and training camp and preseason and you're like, oh God, I don't want to franchise tag this guy. What if he has a terrible injury? You know, you don't have to do any risk up front. The only reason I can see to do it is that you save the franchise tag and you can use it on another player. And the only other player who would get that is probably Nate Solder.
Which I don't think they're going to use that on him.
I don't think so either. I think that's why they drafted a couple tackles, and they might try to work on another 2-year extension with him.
Yeah. I don't think Garoppolo is going to be here that long.
Yeah?
I think we trade him. I don't know. He's still on the team. I can only imagine that once they see Brady is, if in fact he is himself, which we all expect, then they trade him.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if... We could probably go back and look at episodes we did February this year and be like, yeah, Jimmy's getting traded ASAP. Zero doubt.
He wasn't. So yeah,
it's hard
to be certain about it. That's the only thing I can think of. I can't see him being on the team next year. Just for $24 million, you're spending $40 million on one position where only one person can play?
I know.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It's an important position in the sport, though.
Still, you're going to gut the rest of your team just to do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I love that they're able to play the waiting game with him. You could trade him at any moment.
Before the deadline.
Yeah, but as long as he is under contract with your team, you can trade him at any moment, and he still has almost exactly the same value.
Right.
And all you have to do is look back in Patriots history. 10 years ago, we franchise tag Matt Castle and then trade him on the franchise tag for the 34th overall pick. Pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
That's on the franchise tag, and everyone was saying before the draft here with Jimmy G, they were like, oh, well, a large part of his value is how cheap his contract is in 2017. Guess what? Season hasn't started yet. You could trade him before the season. Still has high value. And then after the season, if you wanted to franchise tag him and then trade him, still has pretty high value. Maybe it's not exactly the same.
Yeah.
But it's still, you know, top of the second round type value.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty good.
Yep, definitely.
One thing I was thinking about is all these the Patriots' reluctance to trade Garoppolo because, you know, you hear these reports, oh, they believe he's a franchise QB. They don't want to let him go. They, you know, they want to do everything in their power to hang on to him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I believe you, but then why did they spend a third-round pick drafting Jacoby Brissett just a year ago?
Right.
Like, what has changed so major league in the last year where they were like, oh, we're going to have to replace Garoppolo a year ago, and then now we're like, oh, well, we might have to run Brady out of town so we could get Garoppolo on the field.
Right.
It's like,
exactly.
What enough has not happened in the last year? I mean, the guy played six quarters, really high-level football, but six fucking quarters.
With the best offense in the league.
Yeah. Well, no Gronk yet.
No Gronk yet, right. But still. Right. I can't...
Like, their opinion about Jimmy G, they had seen him practice and play for 2 years before drafting Jacoby Brissett.
Right.
And now
they still
drafted
him.
Yeah, they still drafted Brissett. And a year later, you're supposed to tell me that they think this guy is the future of the franchise? That their opinion on him has changed that radically in a year?
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I don't buy it either.
Thanks for your scintillating take.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy nothing it either.
Else to, there's nothing else to say.
Yeah, you know? I suppose.
throw a lot of conjecture at it. I have no idea what the fuck they're going to do, but I don't. You're right. It doesn't.
You
don't draft another quarterback if he's the winner.
Yeah, and it's not like they drafted him in the seventh round. They drafted this guy in the third round.
Right. Exactly.
And that's like the third highest draft pick we've spent on a quarterback.
And Belichick is
in the last
not
15, 18 years.
Right. And Belichick's not afraid to go with two quarterbacks on the roster. He's done. Mm-hmm. He did it for years.
Years and years. Yeah, he was like the first one to do it.
Yeah.
It's curious, and I know I have an emotional attachment to Brady, and I don't want to see what happened to Joe Montana and Peyton Manning and Johnny Unitas and so many of the great quarterbacks get pushed out of town. Brett Favre, there's one.
Mm-hmm.
So many of those guys get forced out, and I don't want to have to deal with that.
No, I don't want to deal with it either. I don't believe it'll happen. I don't. I refuse to.
Yeah, I hear you. on a sour note, Cortez Kennedy, Hall of Famer from the Seahawks, died recently.
Hmm.
He's one of those players that just kind of gets lost in history.
Because he was on a bad team or something?
Just, well, teams that didn't win a whole lot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that they were a bad team. But, you know, he made the 1990s all-decade team. It was defensive tackle, absolute stud. And maybe it's the fact that they play in Seattle that some of those players get underrated.
Mm.
But I mean, I'm also thinking of Walter Jones. Do you remember Walter Jones, left tackle?
Left tackle? Oh yeah, he killed it.
Outstanding, like top three left tackles of all time. And I feel like Cortez Kennedy kind of gets swept under the rug. And it's sad that he died. Oh, it doesn't seem like there was any foul play or anything. It's just kind of unhealthy old football player, but just wanted to bring that up. People should know about players like that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, nice shout out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now we got the OTAs for the Patriots. Pretty soon we're going to be looking at mini camp, and then it's going to be training camp before we know it.
Yeah.
And this thing is going to get
a lot more exciting.
Rocket fuel. What were you telling me before we started the show about you wanting the NFL to fold after last season? What was it?
Yes. Last year was the pinnacle of excellence, and especially as a Patriots fan. If the season just ended, it's like I almost don't even – it's like that was the highest high it's going to be, coming back from that 28-3 deficit and winning the Super Bowl. Brady's got five. It's just like I think it's it. They can't get any better than that. There's never going to be any better joy from this game in my life. Probably that matches that.
Yeah.
Might be. Could have, would it, should, done. Cancel the team. It's like, all right, guys, this is the best that we've ever done. We're not going to ever come close to it. Let's just call it quits. Tie it up.
Yeah, everybody decides to quit at the same time.
It's fucking over, guys. And then, boom. What a way to go down.
Well, if they ever make a movie, of Tom Brady's story, that I got to think that that's got to be the final scene.
Right.
It's got to be back from 28-3 with 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, and then what winds up happening. And just the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history, winning five Super Bowls, something a quarterback's never done, receiving the MVP trophy from the guy who tried to ban you from the league.
Yeah. The whole thing.
The whole thing, yeah. It ties up a whole lot of strings.
Tom Brady won. That's what it comes down to. Can't be beat. Nobody beats him.
Nobody beats the Wiz. There it is. Nothing like a good Seinfeld quote to wrap up a show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We will be back shortly to continue to discuss this Patriots offseason. Maybe look ahead to some packages that we think will be most effective offensively and defensively for the team.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? All right.
Alrighty.
Talk to you soon, folks.
Adios.